The Linux Newslog Podcast, episode 109 for Monday, October 30th, 2006. Welcome to the show, everybody.
Linux Newslog, your source for Linux and open source related news on the net. Live to the hard drive from Phoenix, Arizona. Linux Newslog is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here.
Hey everyone, how's it going? You are listening to Linux Newslog. I am your host, Adrian Macon, coming to you almost live from lovely Phoenix, Arizona, here in Studio BR2. This is episode 109, and it is Monday, October 30th, 2006, 10:59 p.m., so I've got roughly an hour to record this and get it out the door so everybody can start downloading it. I realize I'm actually running about an hour and a half late tonight, so it'll probably be really late by the time I get this out, but nonetheless, the show must go on. Linux Newslog is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. And we are also listed over at Blueberry, blubrry.com, the place where podcasters and podcast listeners finally come together. Let's go ahead and get into the news for this episode, starting off with the Sydney Morning Herald. Oracle's Linux Play hits Red Hat. This is the big news for the previous week. Basically, to sum it all up, Oracle Linux took Red Hat, bent them over, had their way with them, and released their own Linux based off of Red Hat's Linux. That sounds about right. According to the story, Oracle is taking a bite out of the leading Linux distributor, Robert Rochelle Garner and Emma Moody. Oracle, the world's third largest software company, has announced it will supply support services for the Linux operating system distributed by Red Hat and undercut its smaller competitor on price. Red Hat shares immediately slid 16% on the notice. Oracle plans to charge substantially less than Red Hat, the world's biggest distributor of Linux, said Oracle Chief Larry Ellison last week at Oracle's Open World, which really was last week. I grabbed the story from this week because it had more details. Anyway, at Oracle's Open World Customer Conference in San Francisco, the company will cut prices in half for early adopters that subscribe before the end of January, starting at $49 a year. For basic access to patches and upgrades, rising to $999 for premier access of systems with two CPUs. So, yikes. We'll see what happens here. We will be following this closely in the coming weeks. From ZDNet's Between the Lines blogs, David Berlind has a post. An update, actually, on the Munich Linux migration project. Munich's $44.5 million, 14,000 PC desktop Linux migration project. So far, so good. So, he links to a story published by Heise Online. So, as always, we're going to have everything, well, at least his story, linked up in the show notes, and then you can follow it from there. Got some details on what other organizations are considering. The Linux client, it's based off of Debian. Officials anticipate it'll take approximately 2 years to complete the migration. 14,000 PCs, that's a lot of PCs, by the way. The mayor is reporting that the switch from Windows to Linux was easy, but perhaps we should expect any politician to say something like that or this, like that of his or her own initiatives, which is kind of true. Anyway, he's got a list here of stuff and some commentary on it, so do feel free to check it out. I'm linking to it because I think it's interesting and I don't want to give it all away because it's not an extremely long post. But anyway, do feel free to go check it out. I implore you to do so. The next story that we've got is from Seeking Alpha at software.seekingalpha.com. Apparently, this is their software blog. Red Hat confidently announces a share buyback. The Marley Group submits just one day after seeing the shares slump 28% following Oracle's announcement that they could be or would be entering the Linux market as a direct competitor. Red Hat's management sent a message to Wall Street on Friday. In a show of great confidence in their future prospects, Red Hat's board of directors authorized a $325 million buyback of stock and debt. "We believe this repurchase program is in the best interest of our shareholders," said Finance Chief Charles Peters. "It underscores our belief in Red Hat's future and represents an opportunity to enhance long-term shareholder value." So basically, they know their stocks are going to go in the trash. So what they're going to do is they're going to suck as much of it back as they can, $325 million worth. And because there will be less Red Hat stock on the market, it'll be rarer and more valuable, is my thought process on this. I may be completely out of whack and wrong, but that's what I'm thinking right now. So anyway, we'll be keeping an eye on both the Oracle and Red Hat ordeal or dilemma or drama, I guess you could call it. The next story that we've got is from LXer.com. Dirk Dashing, secret agent, released for Linux. I don't usually do game stories, but I thought this was kind of cool. Dirk Dashing is the number one operative in a top secret organization called GOOD, Government Operatives on Duty, whose mission is to protect the world from terrorists and power-mad megalomaniacs. Huh. Weren't we just talking about one? Oh, never mind. His missions take him to many exotic locales where he must face dangerous enemies, avoid traps, and solve baffling puzzles in order to save the day. As Dirk Dashing, you have been assigned to recover the 7 largest diamonds in the world, which have been stolen from a museum exhibit by the international jewel thief, Pickpocket. I believe that's how you pronounce it. Your mission takes you to the Bavarian Alps of southern Germany, where you will explore 30 spectacular hand-painted levels in search of the stolen diamonds. Along the way, you will collect stolen loot and battle a horde of evil agents who are also hunting for the diamonds. Apparently, it's a relatively family-safe game. It's Dirk Dashing Secret Agent 1.0 for Linux is what's being released. No blood, no gore, no fistfights. Nothing like that. So this should be family safe. And if anybody wants to check it out and do a little mini review or something of it, I will be more than happy to accept audio submissions for a review. Just send them to linux@quicksurf.com. And I'll play them here, or I'll pick the best one if I have multiple submissions and play the best one here on the show. Or I might do an amalgam of, you know, piecework parts of each one together or something. I don't know. But if anybody wants to do any type of software review or anything like that, do feel free to send it in. Okay, don't go away. We've got a couple of bills to pay, and then we will have more Linux news coming up right after the break. This episode is sponsored by GoToMeeting. Getting to and from meetings, like driving 2 hours for a 1 hour meeting or flying to headquarters for a half day training session, can be a real waste of time and money. Well, you can save time and money by meeting online with GoToMeeting. With GoToMeeting, you can invite people to meet you online, and during your call, they see your computer screen on their monitor. Meet as long as you want, as often as you need. It's one flat rate. Try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. There's no credit card required. Just visit GoToMeeting.com/tech podcasts. That's GoToMeeting.com/tech podcasts. Try GoToMeeting free today. No credit card needed. Yahoo! All right, from VNUnet.com, Panda, as in Panda Software, trials Linux antivirus software. Security company Panda has launched a beta version of Panda Desktop Secure for Linux. The suite includes a signature-based detection mechanism for malicious code, the genetic heuristic engine, and a powerful firewall. Panda aims to contribute to the Linux community by offering a free product to protect these systems. Now, we have touched on this in the past. They did announce it about a month and a half ago or something like that. It was like it was before show 100 is I think the last time I talked about it, but like 98 or 99, something like that. Anyway, this is kind of cool. I know a lot of people don't think that Linux needs, you know, antivirus or anything like that, but the fact of the matter is, and I've said this time and time again, there is no such thing as 100% secure software. The only total security is if you've got it unplugged and in a closet inside of a safe, but then it's not useful. So if you want a usable system, you have to make some compromises in security and have some best practices efforts to minimize getting the living daylights hacked out of you. And this applies to any operating system. It's not just Linux alone. Linux, by default, is more secure than something like, say, Windows or Windows 95 or, you know, even Windows XP has problems. And Vista undoubtedly will have problems as well. But anyway, that's beside the point. If you're not running some kind of antivirus or firewall or anything like that, you really should. Panda's given away a free one. I can't vouch for it in terms of quality of software because I have not used the Linux version of Panda because my Linux machine isn't hooked up to anything. Hence, the only thing that gets on there is stuff that I put on there, and if I don't virus scan it on another computer first, then it's my fault. Anyway, so, you know, you just got to do it, and they're making it free, so, you know, take it. All right, from HPC Wire, Mosix Group releases Grid Manager for Linux Clusters. The Mosix Group from Hebrew University has released the Grid version of its software for Linux 2.6, Mosix, that's M-O-S-I-X, 2, is a management system that makes a Linux cluster or a grid of clusters perform like a single computer with multiple processors. I've always been a huge fan of high-performance computing and cluster computing and grid computing and all that other stuff, so this type of thing really appeals to me. Its goal is to leverage the organization infrastructure to form a supercluster that can consist of private and pooled homogeneous clusters that can be shared in a flexible manner. Mosix allows applications to run in remote nodes as if they run locally. This means that there is no need to modify or to link applications with any library to copy files or log into remote nodes or even to assign processes to different nodes. It's all done automatically like an SMP. Users run their regular applications while Mosix transparently and automatically seeks resources and migrates processes among nodes to improve the overall performance. That's kind of cool. Now, Mosix is not the only high-performance computing cluster software out there. There's actually a couple of different ones, but this is still interesting nonetheless. This has a couple of features that you don't really see a lot, like automatically seeking resources. Some other cluster type software doesn't really let you do that. So anyway, thought it was cool and thought I'd talk about it. From VNUNet, Linux file system catches up with NFS version 4. The Open Source Development Labs, sponsor of Linus Torvalds, the creator of the Linux kernel, yada yada yada, has announced that the network file system version 4 for Linux is available in SUSE Enterprise Linux from Novell. The OSDL said that this milestone reflects the maturity of NFS version 4 for Linux in the enterprise. NFS is a mechanism for sharing files across the broad range of platforms, da-da-da-da-da, and explains all that in excruciating detail. Anyway, so that's cool. From desktoplinux.com, Novell announces PCs preloaded with SUSE Linux. Wouldn't it be great to just get a PC with Linux already installed and ready to go? Novell thinks that's a grand idea too. And on October 25th, we've already passed that, announced agreements with four white... Oh, I know why, because this is... Okay, never mind. On October 25th, announced agreements with four white box PC manufacturers who will globally distribute PCs preloaded with SLED 10. And SLED stands for SUSE Linux Enterprise Desktop. So, anyway, Novell's new PC vendors are European manufacturers Etgro Technologies, Max Data, and Transtech, along with US PC OEM R-Cubed Technologies. Each will sell notebooks and or desktop PCs preloaded with SLED 10. So, kind of nice. Now, these don't make, with the exception of the US one, these guys don't really make the PCs themselves. They're more like resellers. Well, maybe not. Anyway, if you want to get Novell SLED 10 preloaded, those are the companies to go to. And there's more information there, so do feel free to check it out if you're in the market for that type of thing. Okay, from LinuxDevices.com, carrier-grade Linux gains first NEP registrant. Performance Technologies says it has successfully registered a forthcoming version of its commercial Linux distribution with version 3.2 of the carrier-grade Linux specification. The company appears to be the first network equipment provider to roll out its own CGL-compliant Linux implementation. Wow. So, if you're into carrier-grade stuff for telephones and communications and that sort of thing, check it out. Maybe worth your time. Okay, that will pretty much do it for this edition of Linux News Log. I do thank you so much for listening. As always, everything we've talked about will be linked up in the show notes at linux.quicksurf.com. Do feel free to visit us on the web often and regularly, if that makes any sense. You can also email me, linux@quicksurf.com. I do accept audio comments. If you switch over to the Ogg Vorbis feed, which is also linked up in my show notes, drop me an email or call in on the voicemail hotline. Let me know. While we're talking about the voicemail hotline, it's 602-466-3134. That's 602-466-3134. Now, we did get a comment on the last show. Hang on a sec here. About a guy that wants to switch over to Ogg Vorbis, but he can't. And, see, not on the last show. It was on 108. Show 108, there's a comment in the comments list. Hello, I want to subscribe to the Ogg feed instead of the MP3 feed, but I'm using iTunes. Is it possible to get iTunes to handle Ogg feeds and play Ogg files? Otherwise, I can't and won't switch since there isn't any better application for podcasts out there. I have tried some, but never find anyone to my liking. If you know one that looks and feels like iTunes and can import my huge podcast collection and all my feeds from iTunes, let me know here. So, if anybody wants to help this guy out, my response, humorously enough, and not serious at all, would be, you're using iTunes? On Windows? Or maybe if he's using a Mac. Nonetheless, there's got to be something. I mean, iTunes is kind of a nice jukebox. I know I'm going to get a whooping over this one. I'm not real wild about the iTunes user interface, but as a jukebox application, yes, it is kind of nice. But there's got to be something better for this guy if he wants to switch over to Ogg Vorbis. I don't know if iTunes works with Ogg Vorbis or not because I don't use iTunes. But, you know, if somebody can help him out, leave a comment. It's show number 108. And I'm just kidding. iTunes, everybody should use whatever software that they like best or what's more appropriate. But anyway, if anybody can help this guy out, any of the listeners out there, do leave a comment. It might take a day or so for me to approve the comments, but any comments you make will make it onto the site. Don't double post, because that just makes more work for me to delete duplicates. So anyway, that will do it for this show. I do thank you for listening, and I will talk with all of you next week, and switch over to Ogg Vorbis. Bye.